simply a fact of life. If you try to grow something in the desert, it won't grow. If you try to plant a crop in the desert, it's just the law of life. It won't grow. You're not going to harvest corn in the desert. You're not going to harvest a rich, abundant, vibrant life if you plant your life in the philosophies and in the ways and in the ideas of man. Nothing grows there. When I look out on the world and the society that I live in, when I look out at the landscape of humanity, I see a cold, desolate tundra of nothing, of emptiness, of empty lives, of futility, of loneliness, of people who wouldn't know it if prosperity hit them in the face. They're so critical. They're so negative. They're so empty. And that's what he says here. The person who trusts in man's ways, the person who trusts in his own strength, whose heart turns away from God. You see, it's the same thing. If you trust in mankind, if your trust is in science to solve your problems, if your trust is in man's ways of doing things to raise your family, your heart has turned away from the Lord. They don't mix. You cannot mix God's ways and man's ways. You cannot mix oil and water. They don't go together. And the only thing that's going to be left to you is you'll be like a bush in a wasteland. You'll be all alone. And the winds of life and the brutality of nature will just beat against you. You'll dwell in the dry, parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Where no one lives. You know, we're a society of lonely people. We can be in the Mall of America. We can be surrounded by thousands of people. And yet there are more people today who are struggling with just feeling alone, feeling isolated. They might even be married. Marriage can be one of the loneliest places in the world. And the primary reason that mankind today, we experience this destitution, this discouragement, you might call it depression, this loneliness, this forlonging of our soul, is because we're following after man. We're following after man's ways. Our life revolves around the world's ideals and attitudes and not God. For the contrast here says blessed, and the word blessed means extremely fortunate. Happy and fortunate is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are evergreen. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Now that's the kind of life I want, and I'm positive that's the kind of life, given the choice, that you would want. A life that is confidently lived. A life that is not tossed back and forth by circumstances that blow our way. A life that's stable. A life that's strong. A life that's vibrant. An emotional makeup. No matter what your temperament is or what your personality is, an emotional makeup that's always bearing fruit, that's vibrant and alive and happy and confident and full of peace. You don't have to worry when times get difficult because we know God is looking out for our life. This kind of person doesn't worry about living in the parched land. It doesn't worry when all of a sudden the rain doesn't fall for a while and good times don't seem to be as prevalent as they used to be. They have a secret source of strength and invigoration. And that source is the waters of God, where the roots of their life are firmly planted. And that person has no worries in the year of drought. A lot of people today filled with all kinds of worries and anxieties. They watch the stock market go up, up, up. Interest rates fall. Yet consumer confidence doesn't seem to be quite as strong. And retailers are worrying and they're chewing their fingernails and they're wondering why people aren't buying at the mall. Things just don't add up in our world. You know, it just doesn't add up. Doesn't add up all over the world. Wherever you might live, whatever continent you might live, you're going to have worries. The man or woman who has learned how to trust God lives in a different reality. They no longer have to be subject to the realities of man. But they are subject to the reality of a stable God who's faithful to them, who looks out for them, the God in whom they trust. So I want to ask you this morning what you think it means to trust in God. What does it mean? What is the kind of person? We know sort of what the experience would be like because it tells us that in Jeremiah 17. It gives us the contrast. And in fact, often, I'll give you a little secret, you can just evaluate your own emotions and figure out whether or not you've been trusting God lately. You can just evaluate your own thought life and figure out, well, have I been discouraged? Have I been depressed? Have I been feeling like I'm living in a parched land? Chances are you haven't been trusting God. We don't go by our emotions, but our emotions can often indicate to us whether or not our confidence and strength is in God or whether it's centered around man. Are we always afraid? Are we full of fear? Does anxiety run our life? Are we negative? Are we critical? Do we easily get discouraged? Are we downcast? Do we know how to work through difficult things? Or do we run emotionally when things get hard? These are all indicators to us of whether or not our faith is really in God. And there are even bigger indicators, and that would be our relationships. That would be our families. That would be our marriage. That would be our roommate situations. What kind of person are we really like? I want to read to you this morning a few other passages. One's out of Psalm 78. I'm going to start with verse 5. God decreed His statutes for Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God, and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. If there's any phrase in the Bible that, in my opinion, describes our generation, it would be that phrase. A stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts have not been loyal to God, they've been unfaithful to God, and we have not kept His decrees. Why do you think? There is so much talk about values, about virtue today in the political arena, besides the fact that it's popular. It's because you can hardly find it anywhere in the fabric of American society. And why is that? Because we've forgotten God. All virtue, all godliness comes from God. Well, we have taken God out of the picture for the last 50 to 60 years out of modern society. And we have forgotten God. We have forgotten what we owe God. We have forgotten who God is. And we are simply reaping the values that we sowed. That's all that's happening in our society today. Well, God wants us to have something different, see? He wants us to be people who trust God. And what that means is people who keep His commands. People who trust God, it is shown in their life by the fact that they pursue to do and obey and conform their life to what God says in His Word. It's that simple. It's really very, very simple. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by His law. They forgot what He had done, the wonders He had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the waters stand firm like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with a light from the fire all night. He split the rock in the desert and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of the rocks and made waters flow down like rivers, but they continued to sin against Him, rebelling in the desert against God. They willfully put God to the test by demanding the food they crave. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the desert?" When He struck the rock, water gushed out and streams flowed abundantly. But can He also give us food? Can He supply meat for His people? When the Lord heard this, He was very angry. His fire broke out against Jacob, and His wrath rose against Israel, for they did not believe in God or trust in His deliverance. Yet He gave command to the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Men ate the bread of angels, and He sent them all the food they could eat. Yet in all this, while the food was still in their mouth, they turned against God. If that does not describe modern society, even many Christians, I don't know what does. Every time we turn around, God is taking care of us. We have lost our sense of wonder. We have lost our sense of amazement at the very fact that every day God keeps us alive. He provides an intact environment, an atmosphere perfectly balanced for human life. He provides us the rain and season. He provides us the changing seasons. He provides us the sun for its warmth, the moon by night, the sun by day. And yet we take it all for granted. In fact, we don't even credit God for having made it. We're just like these people. We can be just like these people. Many, many years ago, it's been for me almost 20. I came to the most critical point in my life as a human being. I look back as the most strategic, critical point in my life. I was 19 years old. I was out of high school. And I was deciding what I was going to do with my life. Many of you, maybe 35 today, 40, 50, 20, you still haven't decided this. For me, it was 19. And I was very much living my life my way. I did things my way. I thought things my way. I thought my life was my own. I'd do whatever I wanted to do with it. So, I went on my way, hitchhiking around the West, just kind of doing what I wanted to do. Not realizing that I was accountable to God. In fact, every human being that walks the earth is accountable to one person and one person alone. That person is God. God began working in my life in the way that I'm sure He's begun working in many of yours or has in the past. He started knocking on my heart, started knocking on my mind. He wanted to get my attention. I wasn't very attentive. I didn't really care what God had to say. I wanted to do things my way. I wanted to live my way, I wanted to love my way, I wanted to lust my way, I wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. That's what I was doing. I didn't know a whole lot about God. I had grown up in a Christian home, but I didn't know all the depths of God. I don't know all the things about God that I know today. All the comforting, wonderful things I knew about God. I basically knew one thing. If I die, and when I die, I'm going to stand before one person, and I'm going to answer for my life, and it's God. And none of my excuses are going to work. I knew that. But I was a man on the run. A young man on the run. I didn't want to face any of that. I didn't care. I was trying real hard to shut off that voice in my mind. Well, God has, you know, His ways. His wonderful ways of getting a hold of our attention. God started messing with my life just a little bit. God started really shaking my apple cart. It's kind of like I have an older half-brother. One time he let me drive his Volkswagen Bug. And it was the first time I'd ever driven one. And I had a sports car. I thought they were like sports cars. So I took a corner at about 50. And they don't corner at 50. And I went up on two wheels. You know when your life's up on two wheels, don't you? That's what God was doing with me. Only it was up on two, then bash down on the other two, then bam, 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 bam. And God was starting to bring me in touch with my own mortality. God was starting to work on my life and trying to grip my heart. And you know, someone didn't walk up to me at 19 and say, "Oh, Mark, God has a wonderful plan for your life if you just follow Him." No, sir, that was not the message God got me with. God got me with, "Listen here, young man, you're accountable to me and you better straighten up and fly right." Really shook me up. Really shook me up because I knew it was right. I knew God had a claim on my life. I didn't know anything about trusting God. That's why I'm telling you this. I didn't know that God was a wonderful God of love, that He just loved me all the time, no matter what, that He was faithful to all His promises. All I knew, all that kept resounding in my heart and mind was, "Mark, this is the most important decision you'll ever make. Christ died for you. Now what are you going to do about it? Are you going to live your life for your purposes? Are you going to live them for God's?" Well, I made a decision. It's pretty obvious. To live my life for God. Period. It's the same decision God is confronting you with. Whether you ever become a pastor or not, God has a claim on every one of our lives. And it's in your best interest to live life God's way. Well, you know, I was 19. I wasn't going to a church at the time. And all along, God's working on my heart. And after I committed my life to Him, one day I just got on my hands and knees before God. I said, "God, it's all yours. My life's all yours. Show me whatever you want me to do. I'll do it." Let me phrase that another way. "Lord, show me whatever you want me to do and I'll change whatever I am and however I live." That's a very strategic word, friends. I want you to know something this morning. You do not trust God if you're not changing in your life. If our lives are no different than that of a person who does not know God, if our lives are filled with hypocrisy, we do not trust God. We must be men and women whose lives change to be like God. Well, I'm 19 years old. I have nobody around pastoring me. You know what I knew right away? I knew it instinctively. And you know it instinctively. If the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you know it instinctively. Get in the book and find out what it is God wants you to do. You know why? I'm convinced most of us, it's not our laziness that's the problem about getting in this book. We simply don't want to know. I don't want to know. Ignorance is better than knowing. No, it's not. I want to tell you something. It's not. Ignorance can destroy your life. God wants to save your life. He wants to deliver your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to fill your life with vibrant vitality and peace and joy and success. But it can only come as you change your attitude about God. And as you change your attitude towards His Word, and you get in and find out what are God's ways and what does He want me to do. Trusting God means that we come to a point in our life where we put our complete and total confidence in God for our future, for our lives, and we get into His boat instead of our own. We put all our eggs in God's basket, not saving any back here for ourselves. For me, this was all a very quick and immediate change. And I'd like to tell you this, it's best if you make it quick and fast rather than drag it out for the next 10 years of your life. It'd be far better for you to make a quick, clean break with the past and get moving forward with God. Well, one of the first things I knew immediately that had to go in my life was my immorality. I knew it, boom, one day after. Boom, no more women. I knew it just like that. Now for me, that meant something even greater. It meant that for me, I couldn't date anymore. Because I knew if I got in a dating situation, I'd compromise and I'd be immoral. Was I hardcore? I was for me. I knew that's what I needed to do. So what was I trusting God for? I was trusting God for a mate. Romans chapter 8 says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not along with Him freely give us all things?" God gave Adam a wife. God gave Isaac a wife. And oh, I guess God could give me one too when He thinks it's the appropriate time. Besides, I only want one if it's what God wants for me. And two, I only want a woman who loves the Lord and trusts Him like I do. Because I want to make sure I join my life with someone who wants to spend the rest of their life trusting God. So that's what I did. And God kept His word. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." God will take care of the rest if you would put Him first. But that's the question, isn't it? That's the question that confronts every one of us every day of our life. Will God be first? Is God first? That's the question we can only answer with the way we live. Not with the way we talk, but with the way we choose to live. And that's what God wants to do in our life. Well, I can look back now, 20 years in my life, and there have been joys and sorrows, there have been successes and failures. But my main stay through those years and my main goal and my main ambition through those 20 years has been to trust God. And now I've been married almost 17 years and I have 4 children. And I can tell you this, I have set out from the very beginning with my wife together to trust God in the way we parented. To rely on God's advice for parenting and not the world's advice for parenting. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we took a ton of flack for it. We've been ostracized by family and friends for the choices we made in life. And am I sorry for any of them? Not one. Is the proof in the pudding? You better believe it is. God's word works in life, but you will never know it unless you decide to change your life and obey it. You'll never know it. God will be no more relevant to you than Jupiter. I think it's insane we spend billions of dollars to study a lifeless planet. It's my personal opinion. If you're a scientist here, I'm sorry. It's just my opinion. When there are so many needs here that could be responded to. This is the world Christ made. People live on this world. These are the people He died for. This planet. The planet we call Earth. God wants to be relevant to you. God wants to get involved in your daily life. But He can only get involved if you get Him involved. He's not going to come down and shove Himself down your throat, you know. He's not like the devil. The devil will possess people. God won't. The devil will badger and squeeze and ruin and destroy. The Lord won't. He's very polite. He'd like to possess you. And in any way that He would, it would be for your good and for your benefit. But He'd only do that if you allow Him to. Men and women, God wants us to go home and He wants us to trust God. He wants us to love one another. That takes faith in God. How many times you get into a little spat, you don't feel like loving. You feel like lashing out. You know, you can trace violence in the family, child abuse, sexual abuse. It's all of this very thing I'm talking about. It's because people don't trust God. They trust in their own flesh to satisfy their own cravings. They give into their flesh instead of trusting God and do what's right. That's the problem with the world. That's the problem with the family. It all comes back to individuals who trust God. I just have one other passage I want to read to you this morning out of Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 5. "In my anguish, I cried out to the Lord, and He answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they dried out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things." That's what it's like to walk with God. Shouts of joy and victory resound in your home. shouts of joy and victory resound in your life. There is far too much defeatism today in the Christian community. Far too much depression. Far too much discouragement. And someone's got to be willing to call the spade that it is. We are people who do not know how to trust God. It's very simple. It's not complex at all. We learn to go to God on our hands and knees. We learn to go to God emotionally in prayer. And we cry out to God, and God promises to deliver those who call out to Him. It is a promise. He would be a liar if He does not keep it. He may not answer in the time you think He should. I promise you, God will always answer in the proper and appropriate time if you call out to Him. He's not a liar. He's not like man. He does not lie. He does not deceive. This is a victorious life. Sure, there are times we feel anguish in our heart. And what do? We call a friend. It's amazing to me. I'll tell you something. I think friendship is a wonderful gift. But many of us, our friends have a higher place in our life than God. And when we're down and when we're discouraged, the first thing we do is call a friend. The psalmist says over and over and over and over again, in my anguish I cried out to the Lord and He answered me and set me free from all my fears. God is that personal. God wants to be that intimate in your life today. He wants to be that intimate in your life tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. He is the sustainer of our lives. He is the joy. He puts a new song in our heart. I can tell you this. If you haven't figured this out already, you probably have. I'm an emotional person. Now, some days it's a blessing, but I got to tell you, many days I wished I could change my temperament. I can't. Sometimes it's a great thing to feel life. Sometimes it's not a great thing to feel life. But I can tell you right now that if it was not for the stability of God in my life, I'd be a wreck. I'd just be totally subject to my pathetic emotions all the time. They'd be tossing me here, tossing me there. I'd be feeling this, feeling that. You know who has given me growing victory over my own emotions and not having to be a slave to them, which I was completely before I found Christ? It's God. And I can honestly say that there's a lot more joy in my life than there ever is sorrow. There are very few days that go by in my life that I don't feel like when I get up in the morning just singing. Just singing at the God's goodness in my life, at the reality of God in my life. Often all it takes is when I've gotten up, I'm usually up before the rest of the family, and I walk by one of the kids' rooms or one of the beds where they're sleeping, and I see one of my kids. I just feel like singing. I just am so thankful to God for His wonderful blessings in my life. I was walking this morning in my living room and I was looking outside. The moon was shining and the backyard is full of evergreens, full of snow. And I just singing. Just thanking the Lord. Thanks for a roof over my head. Thanks even though there's ice on the windows and condensation on the inside. Lord, I tell you, I'm just so thankful I can turn the heat up and my feet are warm and You're so good to me. You're so good to me. Men and women, we need to get our sense of wonder back every day of our lives. It'll change your life. When you're going to that job that may be hard and you're stuck in rush hour, it may be challenging, thank God for a car with a heater in it. You could be like your grandparents with a buffalo blanket with lice, a Clydesdale horse stuck in front trying to get to work. Thank God we have a job. Thank God it's warm at our job. I mean, there's just so many things. Every time we turn around, we take them for granted. Trusting God means we thank Him. We value Him. We appreciate Him. Next week, I'm going to finish this series off. And we'll talk more about what it means to trust God in your everyday life. What are some of the disciplines that are involved? How is it that we can give our burdens to God and live in a sense a burdened-free life? We'll get into that next week. But I just want you to take with you this morning this simple thought. If you're going to trust God, then it means you're going to have to change your life. Now, He'll give you the strength to change, but you must make the decision to change. And you must pursue that change. And you and I must quit making excuses for what we're not. And get into God's Word and find out, God, what is it that You want me to do? How is it that I can conform my life, my attitudes, my thoughts, and my actions? You'll be the one who reaps the reward. Always remember that it's no skin off God's back if you do obey or you do not obey. God will remain who He is forever and ever, time without end. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anyone. In His love, He has given us His formula for success in your life. And you'll be far better off trusting God than trusting the economy. You'd be far better off trusting God than trusting in your own ideas. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." God means just what He says. Trust Him. Don't rely on your own intuitions. Don't rely on your own way of figuring things out. But buffet your body and make it walk the line that honors God. And it'll change your life. It'll change those around you. It'll change what you experience. And you will become a person who can confidently say in the years to come, "I know what it means to trust God, and there's no other way I'd rather live." Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You keep Your Word. We thank You this morning, Lord, that You long to be so real and relevant and personal to each of us here today. Lord, I just say that You are the best thing that's ever happened to me. The absolute best thing in my life every day is You, Your presence, Your promises, Your help, Your comfort. Just You, just knowing every day that You live inside of me, that You're involved in my world, that I can come to You with any need, that Your Word has the answer to all the problems that I face, that all the problems anyone in this room faces, Lord, they're right in Your Word. It's just that most of the answers have to do with us, and they're very personal, and they involve our change and our conformity to Your Word. And I admit to You, Lord, that myself included, we don't want to do that. We don't like You telling us what to do. We don't like You showing us that the problem often in our life is the person staring back at us in the mirror. Help us, Lord, to trust You. Help these people, Lord, to go on their way today and make a decision in their day, today. I'm going to pursue trusting God. I am going to trust God, and I'm going to do whatever it takes and whatever God asks of me. Be the best thing they ever did. In Jesus' name, amen.